Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of the code used successfully by Newt Gingrich in his South Carolina win that he himself attributed not to his superior debating skills, but, quoting, "I articulate the deepest felt values of the American people." Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief Adele Stan joins us to decipher Newt Gingrich's race-baiting code and discuss what she sees as the likely rhetorical refighting of the Civil War, with a black Democrat doing battle with a white Republican for president of what is supposed to be the post-racial United States. Then, with today's announcement that the European Union is joining the U.S.-led embargo against Iran, we will examine the role of Iran's largest trading partner, China, in avoiding another Gulf War and the closure of the Straits of Hormuz. Min-Sing Pei, the director of the Keck Center for International and Strategic Studies and a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College, joins us. He has an article at the BBC, China's Iran Dilemma. Then finally, Joshua Landis, the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma and the author of Syria Comment, a daily newsletter and blog on Syrian politics, joins us. We'll discuss Saudi Arabia's withdrawal from the Ineffective Observer mission and the Arab League's demand that Syria's bloody dictator Bashar Assad hand power to a transitional government, a demand that the regime has already rejected as a foreign conspiratorial scheme. And joining us now is Adele Stan, who's Alternet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has served as a columnist and blogger for The American Prospect Online. A featured essayist for The Guardian's Comment is Free Site, a contributing writer to Mother Jones and Washington correspondent for Working Women. She has an article at alternet.org, Gingrich and Race Baiting Wins in South Carolina. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adele Stan.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian.
And Adele, the front page of Monday's LA Times says GOP's head versus heart battle suggests that the Romney represents the head and Gingrich the heart. So which organ is going to conquer?
My goodness. Oh, if Romney's the head, they're definitely in trouble. And if Gingrich is the heart, I mean, he seems a rather heartless chap to me. That's a kind of, I don't know that I would buy that analogy.
Well, it comes from a quote from Republican pollster, Whit Ayers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I just, right now, I think the Republican Party is rather headless, rather like a chicken that has just been beheaded. I mean, it's running around, not kind of knowing what it's doing. And the reason that's happening is, you know, we hear all this talk about the Republican establishment, but there really isn't an establishment that has any real power anymore. And there's a new establishment rising out of the Tea Party. So, you know, it's sort of in this place of shifting. In terms of Gingrich being the heart, well, I mean, I think maybe Gingrich is more like the ganglia. Gingrich is more like the autonomic nervous system that is propelled by fear. You know, maybe he's the amygdala. I don't know, but he's really stoking the fears of a certain segment of the GOP base, which he knows will respond to fear of the other, whether that's African Americans or gay people or radicals, whomever. And that is how he sees his path to victory. And there's an African American president, and in the South you have a race problem, and you have the base of the GOP, thanks to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy, being largely drawn from people who are not comfortable with changes in civil rights law and things like that. So that's where we are.
So Adele Stan, he's now in Florida, where apparently Mitt Romney's, there's 200,000 absentee ballots already cast,
right,
which the assumption is that mostly for Romney. Mm-hmm. But it does seem that Gingrich is already doing well in the polls in Florida. He'll clearly do well in the panhandle. And then following Florida, there's a bunch of southern primaries as well. where he will employ the same strategies that he that were so successful in South Carolina.
Right.
So, you know, this is one of those things where progressives may end up ruining and getting what they wished for, which is somebody that the pundits have said is weak compared, you know, that Obama will have an easy time with than he would with Romney.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that either way this slices out for the Republican Party, there are going to be just terrible problems for the party itself. You know, if Romney wins the nomination, they have a very, very damaged nominee. If Gingrich wins the nomination, then you have this really, you know, bellicose and divisive face on the party. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, neither one of these guys could come close or even win. They could. I mean, a lot can happen during the course of a presidential campaign.
Things like the Euro crashing or a war with Iran? Or,
yes, any of those things. Or you know, another stock market crash in the United States.
But even if that doesn't happen, I still think that Gingrich is formidable. I think the Republican establishment, and you mentioned it's largely a myth, but I think there are a few people in the back rooms that are having palpitations at the thought of him being the leader, because in conventional political wisdom, he's damaged goods. But it doesn't seem to matter, and that's what I find extraordinary about the code that he speaks to the American people with, or at least to his followers with, and you've written about it in your article at Alternate, Adele Stan. I think it's working, and I think there's an awful lot of angry people out there, angry white working people, the so-called Reagan Democrats, not to mention the Southerners. I think this guy's got a good shot.
Well, I think he possibly could. You know, he's got a couple of actually mechanical problems in that he's not on every ballot. He's not on the ballot, for instance, in Virginia or, I believe, in Missouri. So he's got some of those hurdles to overcome. But if he did win the nomination, I mean, Gingrich is, you know, it's not for nothing that he's been called a great tactician. He is a great tactician. When Gingrich fails, it's when he, you know, he gets ahead of himself and begins to think he's a great genius. But he is a very keen tactician, and he's very clever with framing language. He always has been, whether it was with the contract with America in 1994, or what he's doing now in already defining Barack Obama. He's not even bothering all that much now that he's damaged Romney so badly about talking about Romney. He's talking like he's a front runner, and his target is Barack Obama, whom he is really already very well around the corner of defining with these false dichotomous you know, choices where, you know, he casts Obama as the quote-unquote Saul Alinsky radical, and as opposed to people who love America.
Right. Well, that's a sort of shades of Sarah Palin. But it seems to me that at the heart of what the Republicans are doing, and even Romney goes on a somewhat sort of prissy rant about Obama, it seems to me that at the heart of this is that they can't say they hate him because he's a black man. So they make up all this insanity about his birth certificate, him being born in Kenya, that he's a Muslim, that he's a socialist, that he's a follower of Saul Alinsky's. They've actually invented an alternative to the fellow that's actually there in the White House, this mythical figure that they are giving people permission to hate.
Right, but in every one of those instances, he is somehow being defined as other, and that is the key. And then when you take the whole trope about food stamps, the food stamp president, I mean, that's an evil genius right there, you know, fusing all of those ideas together, because, of course, it's an old racist trope that the only people on public assistance are African Americans. And so that codes Obama that way. But then when asked, Gingrich then follows up with a lie saying that, Obama has put more people on food stamps than any president in the past. And, of course, that's not true. George W. Bush did. But
right. Well, this is the historian speaking, right?
Right. Right. This is according to Newt.
But he doesn't care about facts. He really is quite cynical. But what he does is so he connects with these people in this code that I find extraordinary. Not just the race baiting nature of the code, but when he was talking about the other day, I think as his acceptance speech in South Carolina, about what the establishment and the media don't understand, and he almost prophesiarily said, "Now listen to what I'm saying, that you don't understand that for the last 30 years you've been trying to turn America away from what it really is." Now, what the hell's he talking about?
Well, I'm sure each of those people in his audience have a
They
had a
knew
good idea.
Because they gave him a rousing applause. But what is he saying here that somehow that America is not a right-wing patriotic country?
Well, I mean, if you think about what America was 30 years ago, 30 years ago, we had not yet had the first woman Secretary of State. We didn't have women in those kinds of positions of power, or a woman who was a presidential candidate who was a serious contender. 30 years ago, we didn't have African Americans in positions of such visibility in the media. Or in power in general. 30 years ago, we're talking about Reagan time. So there's a lot going on there, and you can.
Well, no wonder he can't say it. I mean, that kind of ridiculous racist nonsense has to be said in code, surely.
Right, and also, you didn't have gay rights 30 years ago. So, I mean, in couching it the way he did, it's sort of an equal opportunity, catch-all for anybody's fear and resentments of changes that have taken place that mostly involve the expansion of rights for people who have been oppressed in the past.
And the idea of a European welfare state, I guess that's just thrown into the mix for a little extra zing,
well, again,
right?
Again, we're talking about the other. When you talk about European, it's other. And
right. Well, you've broken it down in your article, Adele Stan, at Alternet, in a very succinct way. You say Europeans equals secular foreigners. Dependency equals welfare. Welfare equals lazy. Welfare equals black people. Food stamps equal black people.
Yeah, I mean, and you can go on and kind of, decode it, as you go along. But yeah, I mean, that's where we're going with this. And
that's where the country's going. This is not just going to be a nasty electoral campaign. It's going to be really about the dark side of America emerging in a kind of reactionary snit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been actually, saying for a while that the Civil War is not over. It's just not over. Now, it doesn't. I'm not saying it all breaks down into North and South, but you have such a deeply polarized population where it really is. We are divided culturally, and there are forces that seek to maintain that division.
So, given that at this point, we can't get ahead of ourselves and assume that Gingrich has already got it because he's got a pretty high bar to get over. He's not on a couple of ballots. I assume that if it's still going to at the time of the convention, he could have a very powerful case against the states that don't have him on the ballot. But just looking ahead at it. Who do you think's got the strongest argument? Mitt Romney, who is saying, "I'm the businessman and the guy in the White House is out of his depth and I can fix the economy," or Newt Gingrich with his racist code and this atavistic appeal to Aussie and Harriet America?
Always, Ian, it's the people who can speak to the emotional needs of the electorate who...
Well, there you go, back to the heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, as I said, in this case, I would go back to sort of the fear center of the brain. But yeah, I mean, the people who speak to the emotions, you know, people don't vote on so much on policies and issues. They vote on their emotions. And you know, in that case, Gingrich would definitely have it. And the other thing is, even if Gingrich does not win the nomination, by being so blatant in his attacks on his descriptions of everybody who's not basically a white male, he has cleared the path for whomever is the nominee to pick that up. You know, people who wouldn't have gone that far before actually will probably need to in order to, have a shot at winning the general, because the path has been laid by Gingrich.
So what do you think, though, in terms of election prediction punditry, Adele, where the progressive base that helped elect Obama in 2008 in a sweep, a lot of that's eroded. Ironically, right. The Democrats are so feckless that they have allowed Ron Paul to peel off a lot of young voters anti-war voters. But you've still got a big sort of progressive liberal bloc that are dissatisfied. And there's a theory that, of course, America is really a centrist country. So there's this idea that the vast center is out there to be tapped, and Americans elect, run by a former colleague of Michael Milken, Peter Ackerman. they're, I think, going to try and peel off some of Obama's voters,
right?
With a kind of Bloomberg type candidate. It's possible that Paul will run as a libertarian, and that would, of course, hurt the Republicans. But going sort of navigating through that, what would happen with the Gingrich nominee? He might actually get the liberals out of their kind of funk and vote.
Well, that's true. I mean, I hadn't thought that all the way through, to tell you the truth, Ian. And Gingrich might put a little energy into the liberal base of the Democratic Party, where Obama is experiencing an enthusiasm gap, as the pundits call it.
Right, and they may find Romney acceptable because he's not a crazy, right?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest, the elections are generally fought over what are called swing voters. And, you know, a lot of people voted for Obama rather reluctantly, whether it was because he was black or because he was painted as this kind of radical, the last time around, but, you know, in more in whispers, And they voted for him because they couldn't bring themselves to vote for Bush after Bush had wrecked the economy and tanked their
foreign. You mean vote for McCain?
Yeah.
Or Bush's surrogate, right?
I mean, I'm sorry, Bush's surrogate. Yeah, they couldn't, after Bush had tanked the economy and McCain went and said that it was, you know, the fundamentals of the economy were sound. I mean, people weren't going to vote for him. There is a segment that held their noses and voted for Obama. Whether or not Obama can get those people back again with the economy still, in not good shape.
Well, they won't get him back if Romney's the nominee. He's the ideal guy for them. But they might get them back if Gingrich is the nominee. Right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, because it's 4 years later in a bad economy, you get people who are feeling pretty angry and frightened. And that is, the perfect Gingrich voter, somebody who's angry and frightened.
Well, Adele, I thank you for joining us. It's something, obviously, we may be getting ahead of ourselves, but it's...
How can you not help it? It's so not.
It's so bizarre, right. Yeah. I thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me in.
Again, I've been speaking with Adele Stan, who's AltaNet's Washington Bureau Chief. She has served as a columnist and blogger for The American Prospect Online, a featured essayist for The Guardian's Comment is Free site, a contributing writer to Mother Jones, and Washington correspondent for Working Women. She has an article at AltaNet.org, Gingrich and Race Baiting Wins in South Carolina. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about China's Iran dilemma. I'm guessing we want
stranded too close to the water. The current's been sweeping us in. I'm just waiting on you to bring yourself to justice. Forget about the past, it's all with us. I'm just waiting on you to know we've been discovered. The what we've been uncovered. I'm just waiting on you to.